9 o'clock. This is a workshop that's in the RISE project track. RISE is an acronym for Refugee and International Student Engagement. And this one's kind of an overview of international student ministry, and some of you are really involved in that, and others you are just kind of learning about it. So this is going to be a real energetic workshop of where all of us, we pool our ideas. And the reason we put in the booklet a panel is because we didn't want to just have one person. We want to have everybody share some ideas and gather some different thoughts and things. So if you are in the wrong workshop, if you're wanting to go to that other one, you can be dismissed. We won't feel bad. Yesterday we were doing a workshop and three people got up and walked out, and I said, "Where are you going?" They said, "Oh, we were supposed to be the one next door." So if you're looking for another workshop, you can sure step out and head that way. But anyway, my name is Greg Swinney. I am the ministry facilitator for a group called Crossroads International Student Ministries. That's just a few years old. And I also serve as the national representative for about 120 campus ministries for the Christian churches. And that's about, there's about a, maybe 130 globally. Yes. Yeah. Is it on? Yeah, they're taping this. So, but anyway, I have a little bit of a feel for the campus ministries all over the nation, whether they are in Virginia at Virginia Tech or at Truman, where I play racquetball with Megan Hand, but I don't know her married name.
Lyon.
Yeah, we play racquetball whenever we're at conferences together, and I love her Australian accent. And I know about campus ministries in Ohio and in Indiana and all over. So hopefully we can give you a little sketch of what's going on there. I do want to tell you something. The campus ministries are alive and well, and they are in a mission field now. The Barna Research Group calls this season, you know, post-Christian America and this post-modernism, and they use all these ism words. But really what they are saying is it's just this world where we used to be able to say, the Bible says, and people would say, oh, I believe that, and now we're not in that anymore. But the university campus is a real culture shaper these days. In fact, I'll tell you, our campus ministries, our students and our staff are more than just asked to, they're almost required to celebrate some moral behaviors that would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush, I'll tell you. You know, because there's one university I read about, they have a new office that's the LGBTQQAIPP office. Have you heard about this? Oh, gee. I'll try and get it right. The Lesbian, Gay, Bi, Transsexual, Queer, Questioning, Asexual, Intersexual, Pansexual, Polysexual Office. I wish I was making this up. I wish I was making it up. But the thing that's really tough for some of our students and staff is they're saying, in order to be at our university, it's not just you have to agree with this, you have to celebrate it. You have to invite people who have maybe made some poor moral choices to be leaders of your groups. So it's a tough thing. So we live in this mission field that is a complex moral maze. And I am so thankful that our campus ministers are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're saying, we're not going to bow. We're just not going to bow. And that's a refreshing thing to say. We're going to stand on what the Bible says about our families, our marriages, and these things. But to do that in a gracious and kind way. But the good news is at the universities, the international student population, which is what this workshop is about, is blossoming. And it's not just blossoming, it's increasing by exponential rates. Now, we're going to take just a short minute or so. I want you to just introduce yourself and tell us where you're from. Maybe you're connected to a university, and this gives us an idea of what it is we can help you with today. We have some things prepared for you, but if the we're just going to avoid opening up a can of our ideas and saying, here, try this. We really want to gain everything from all of us. So if we can just start down here, you want to just tell us your name and where you're from, and we'll just go down the row, and we'll do this kind of quickly if you don't mind.
So. My name is Sarah, and I go to Truman State University, but I'm from Iowa.
Where at in Iowa?
Pella.
The window place.
Yes.
The Tulip Festival.
Yes.
The Pella Tulip Festival. Oh, man. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, let's just keep going.
I'm Hannah. I also go to Truman State University, but I'm from Chicago.
Cool. Very good. Okay.
I'm Symphony. I go to Mid-Atlantic Christian University in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, but I'm originally from the mountains of North Carolina.
A beautiful campus. Wonder. The river runs right by the campus. Students who sit in the library watch boats go up and down
exactly.
the river.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful there.
Yeah,
and I ate at a coffee shop, or I spoke at a chapel service and was at a coffee shop downtown. That,
Muddy's.
Yes, Muddy's. And it's just a great atmosphere. So, okay.
Alan. Alan Donna Archer mm-hmm. with Team Expansion in Louisville. Mm-hmm. Start working at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Wonderful. If any of you know anybody at Ohio University or anybody in Athens that would be interested in just maybe doing something new, I know Al would love to talk to you. I know he would, so, okay.
I'm AJ. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I went to Point University for my undergrad, and now mm-hmm. I'm doing residency with Christ Church of the Valley in Phoenix, and it's through a master's program through Johnson as well.
Wonderful. Wow. Man, you are all over.
Yeah.
From one coast to the other.
Yeah.
Well, last time I was in Atlanta, I went to that place. Where do they say? What do you have? What do you have?
Yeah, it's Varsity.
Varsity. And I say, I'll have a hamburger and hold the grease. That's impossible. That's impossible. Okay. We're just saying where we're from and a little and just kind of our name and where we're from. So go ahead.
I'm Michelle. I'm from Bridge Christian Church in Fishersville, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started a program called Christian Church Leadership Training Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the college-adopted student ministry.
Wonderful.
And I have one that's graduating this year and thinking about Virginia Tech.
Wonderful things are going on at Virginia Tech. So we can help you with some of that too. Okay? You guys?
I'm Davis. I'm from East Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? That's
it.
Okay.
Michigan State. Okay. And your other folks?
I'm Caitlin. I'm also from Michigan State. We're here with the Campus Ministry Group.
It's a wonderful thing. Gary Hawes is a personal friend of mine, and I'm really looking forward to connecting with Heather. Andrew, is Heather here with you guys?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay.
My name's Aaron. I just got a job. I started this semester doing campus ministry, campus ministry fellowship at the University of Iowa.
Wonderful. University of Iowa in what town again?
Iowa City.
Iowa City. Close to the Amana Colonies. Or is that Iowa City is a little ways away from the Amana Colonies, isn't it?
I'm one of the Amana Colonies.
Okay.
I grew up in Indiana.
He is definitely not a native. Okay. Derek and Mikhail. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Derek. This is my wife, Michaela. We both serve at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. I'm the assistant campus minister with the Christian Student Foundation, and then Michaela is the international ministry director there.
Great, great. Okay, we're just saying our name and where we're from.
Me?
You're up.
I'm Myla. I'm from Saginaw Valley State University, which is in Saginaw, Michigan. I'm a second year there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What are you studying?
Nursing.
Gosh, I wouldn't want to do that. Thank you for doing that for us. Okay. You're from Central.
Yeah, I'm Nathan. I'm from Central Christian College of the Bible in Moberly, Missouri. I'm originally from Bowling Green, Ohio, where I served with East Active Christians Today, campus ministry there, looking to get into the game after I graduate.
Excellent. Excellent. Here we go.
I'm Nancy Wagner from Hillsboro, Missouri. I'm on the mission team at our church, and I've been interested since last year in the concept of the RISE project that mm-hmm. the mission field is coming to us.
Wonderful.
So I'd like to
Excellent.
Be involved.
Coming in. There's seats up here, you guys. So we're we're just kind of spreading around. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
You guys are from Truman?
Yes. My name is Shalene. This is Sarah and Claire.
All from Truman. And all you guys from Truman, we are thrilled. You can just set that projector on the floor if you want. All you guys from Truman, we are thrilled that you are here because you have a wonderful international student ministry there. Kevin and Stephanie. When I want ideas or inspiration, I call them. And maybe you were there a few years ago when my friend Hari Dalakoti went from, he's from Nepal, and I know you have a good Nepali contingent there. And Hari came from Denver to speak. And he is on our board of directors at Crossroads International. So,
Mike and Amy work from Roselle, Illinois, and we're involved with Western Illinois Campus Association, Western Illinois University in Palm.
That is a wonderful place. There's a fellow there working there named Avery Lejeune who is doing stuff with internationals that's just phenomenal. And you are so blessed to have them. He's the energizer bunny. He is. So, Don, you want to start, and we'll just finish these last folks, and then we'll get...
I'm from the University of Missouri Christian Campus House, involved with the international ministry.
That's putting it mildly. Yes. How many students will you meet with this semester, Don?
16.
And they sign up for times, and they just sit and talk?
1 hour a week with each one, one-on-one.
How would you like to have a volunteer like Don to help you guys? I wish we could duplicate you 100 times, Don. We want to hear some of your stories today, okay? Let's just keep on going.
My name is Joshua. I'm from the University of Evansville, and I'm a sophomore at my student Christian fellowship ministry there.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm currently a staff intern at Christian Fellowship in Springfield, Missouri. Missouri State University.
Wow. Good, good. I just saw Dave yesterday, so we had a nice visit. And EIU is in
Charleston.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm Robbie. I'm also with these guys from
EIU. What are you guys studying at EIU?
3D studio art.
3D studio art? So you could make a hologram of something.
I could, but I'm more of like welding and sort of working.
Okay. I was thinking Star Wars, you know, where Yoda says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. Okay, and you're from...
I'm Catherine from the University.
Okay, and you guys just introduce yourself.
I'm Jana. Mm-hmm. I'm a junior in high school. We're here with Faith Bible Camp.
Good. Thanks for coming. We're talking about international student stuff today. But anyway, thank you for all being here. We're going to talk a little bit of overview of what's going on with international students, and we're going to... kind of get a feel for what's happening around here and there. I'm going to play this short video. Wait a second. I'm going to leave the sound off on this if you don't mind. And we're just going to play this video. This is the cabinet of Iran. I want you to pay attention to this. This is the former cabinet of Iran. And they were all students in the United States. About 60% of them were students in the United States. The president was at a foreign university, and now we're just going to go down the list. The chief of staff to the president of Iran. Think about our world condition right now. Atomic energy with all in charge of all the nuclear stuff. Minister of Industries, Cal Poly. These were, and Berkeley in California. Minister of Communication, Sacramento. Isn't this interesting? He was in Louisiana. This guy's foreign affairs, so he's relating to everybody else in foreign affairs. The thing is, if we would have reached out to these folks while they were students in the United States, what do you think would be the difference with our relationship with Iran right now? So this is a little piece we did with the RISE Project, but that one cabinet picture showed the president's cabinet, and about 60% were students in the United States. If history repeats itself, and we have every reason to believe it will, 50% of the world's future presidents are sitting in class today with some of our campus ministry students. And I really think that God brought this student from China or South Korea or Japan, brought them 8,000 miles away to sit in a chemistry class or a physics class or an English class just to hear the gospel from you because they did not hear it from anywhere at home. Now, just for a quick thing, I want to know how many countries you have visited. Who's been to more than 10 countries? You've visited more than 10, more than 5 countries. Who's been to more than 5? More than 5? How about more than 10? Yikes, we're still going? Can you do more than 15? How many countries have you been to? Come on in and pull up a chair. We'll try and scoot you guys in. Maybe 10? Well, we're going to... China? Now, when you went to those countries, some of you who traveled, you knew the culture was very different. The same way with international students who come here. We're going to give you something special today. International students are always about giving gifts, aren't they? Have they given you stuff before? Well, like, what have you gotten? A bookmark?
Fans,
food, all this stuff. What have they given you, Don?
Tea.
You have more tea than China. Don, how many? You probably visited all these countries from your living room, I would guess, without even using a passport. Some Koreans came over to my house the other night, and they said we just gave them some wonderful Korean food, and they said we want to give you a special gift. So they gave me this box of these. These came clear from Korea because you have traveled to more than 10 countries. You get this Korean cookie today. Yep, there you go. See what I told you? I'd be offended if I didn't say that announcement earlier. I'd say, where are you going? So anyway, this is the story. So because a lot of our ministries, and we have a great diversity here. We have people from Michigan, Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, Indiana, all over the place, North Carolina. This is a great mix. The other thing that we have in this room that you will not find anywhere else probably this year is we have college kids who sit with students. We have missions mobilizing associations. We have missions teams. We have staff members. We have people who are working with internationals, people who want to start things with internationals, people who have ongoing stuff that has been going on for years. And this is a great mix, and that's why we're going to share ideas together. The one thing that makes us all one is we believe in this commission of Jesus that says, make disciples of all nations. Now, let me tell you my story just for a minute. I was a campus minister for 26 years, I was kind of a Kmart brand campus minister, where I just worked with whoever came, and they were mostly Americans. And I really said, I'm making disciples, but really it was very selective. I was spending time with people who looked like me and talked like me and ate the same food as me. They enjoyed the same sports as me. And all of a sudden, I started to realize I was selectively obeying the Great Commission. I was making disciples, but the three words of all nations were not in my vocabulary. And the Lord really rocked my world when he woke me up to see the nations are coming to our light. These are the numbers. Al will tell you, we just talked this over a couple days ago. This is the numbers that just were released on Monday. So the International Education Association, releases their numbers the first Monday of November. And so they just released them, or the second Monday in November. And this is what it's going. It's growing at 3%, but right now it's over 1.1 million international students. And if you add visiting scholars, it's 1.2 million from 230 nations of the world. So these are unprecedented times. For example, I want you to think about this with me. If we drove an hour and 15 minutes from this room to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, right? And we stood in the center of the campus. We could walk about 15 minutes, maybe 20, 15 to 20 minutes, and we could speak to people from 120 nations of the world. We've never experienced times like this. I'm telling you, in human history, we have never experienced this. So, this is the cool thing about you guys in college. God must believe in your generation so much that he is bringing them to you. And he didn't bring them to my generation. I mean, it was that very different. But to your generation, that kid who is sitting across the aisle from you in a sociology class or an anatomy and physiology class in your nursing program, God brought them thousands of miles to just be in the same room with you, hoping you will have the boldness to believe that verse in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It will change their whole world. That's what's so cool about this time that we're living in. But the other thing is, so we have headline news. Wall Street Journal says foreign enrollment sets a record, 35-year high. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. Now, tell me what you think about this, some of you students too. How come they're coming here to school? What's the deal? I mean, we have people who graduate in the United States, and some people say they never had to write a paper, or our education system is faulty, or you can't get a job when you're done. Why is China sending 350,000 students to our campuses? Why is that happening? Just tell me a couple, three ideas. What do you think?
They're doing such a poor job reaching them, going where they're at.
And maybe the Lord is opening this door so they can come here. I think you're onto something, Al. I do.
I know, like our Navy students, a lot of them have family that go back home and tell them about Truman, and so they come too.
How many Nepali at Truman these days, you know?
Over 100 for sure.
Over 100 from
yeah.
Nepal. I talk, actually. Nepal. So it's word of mouth. Maybe they're telling their friends. The other thing about China is you need to know they're all only children. So that means they have a mom and a dad and two grandparents paying for them to go to school. So that's why China, there are six wage earners. That Chinese student that's at our university now, of the 350,000, three-fourths, maybe almost 80% of them, their parents pay their way, which means there are six wage earners sending that student to your university. That's why when you talk to a Chinese kid and say, you want to go to a movie? And they say, I must study. No, I must study. Because both parents and both sets of grandparents are paying for them to get there, and they think, if I fail, my family will be shamed. So that's why they say, I'm going to go do my homework. So that's why I encourage, when my kids were in school, I said, if you need to get in a study group, get in with those Chinese kids. You'll get your homework done. Whoa. So it's in India, Saudi Arabia continues to grow. In fact, if you, these are the numbers they just released, 1,078,000. Add the visiting scholars. And OPT is another kind of visa that they get when they're here, and that's kind of what's happening nationally. Most of their parents pay their way. Isn't that interesting? Some of them are here on scholarships. Saudi students are here on scholarships from the King of Saudi Arabia, and if you we had Saudi kids come over to our house. They pull up in a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And I said, oh, I saw you. Ahmed, I saw you got a new car. And I said, where'd you get it? Omaha. And I said, what'd you do? I mean, how did you even find it? And he went to the Mercedes dealer in Omaha, walked straight into the showroom, and I said, I'll take the blue one. Yeesh. They will be world shapers. And so anyway... Yeah, when the Saudi students come over, the value of my neighborhood rises because of all their fancy cars they drive. But they pay for all their tuition, all their room and board. They give them a stipend for rent, and many of them are very open to hear the gospel. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But I really do think it's from that verse in Isaiah that says, "Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All will assemble and come to you." That is what's happening. It's so cool to see the prophecies being realized right in our lifetime. So, Now we're going to talk just a little bit about what's going on with international students. And I asked Derek and Michaela, because this is part of their role at Ball State. Can you guys give us just a little, like, how do you meet students? First, let's help people who are just starting. Maybe we're going to start something in Athens, or there's something in Illinois, or somebody says, we're just kind of figuring this out. Or somebody saying, I might end up in this. What would my job look like? So if you would just kind of give us a feel for, you'll need to talk into this because they want us to record it.
Okay. One of the best ways that at Ball State that we get to meet students is during Welcome Week, there's actually our Rinker Center, which is the Center for International Students at Ball State. They need a lot of volunteers to help out with check-in for international students. And so that's one way to get involved with, the Rinker Center. And so we make friendships with the staff there. And then we're volunteering, and so it gives students volunteer hours and whatnot. But it also it helps us to meet hundreds and hundreds of international students. So there's normally about 100 or so that come new every year, and Ball State has about 600 students a year approximately, like, throughout going through. So that Welcome Week time, you run into the same people over and over throughout the week. So you see them, you're helping them check in, you're helping them find out where they need their passport scanned at, you're helping them go to the health center for their TB tests, they're helping them go to other places for English tests and things like that. So sometimes walking them to different buildings throughout campus, sometimes just having lunch with them, helping them understand what the different cafeterias that we have offer. So those are huge open doors for us to be able to make these friendships and relationships. So that's one of the biggest ways that we do it with Ball State. Yeah.
So after you meet them and kind of get them engaged, where do you see them plug into the work that you guys are doing?
After that, it's typically like one-on-one meetings. It's kind of like, hey, I made friends with you at the beginning of the year. Let's get coffee. Let's go get coffee once a week. Let's you maybe a couple friends of yours from your country, so it's not as much pressure on you. Let's meet once a week, and we can just talk about how school's going for you, talk about just life, talk about your country so I can learn more about you. Then you can learn about America through me, and it can be like a not as formal conversation partner as well. So just getting coffee.
Tell us, how does that work with Truman? Do things similar? How does that happen? Because you have a wonderful thing going on at Truman.
Yeah. We have, like, coffee houses every Friday night. Except now I think they're bringing brand new, just hang out nights. Every Friday, like, we've been blessed with, like, an international house on campus, which is a really cool story. But anyway, every Friday people are invited, and just, like, a bunch of international students come hang out. And we have our IFG team, the International Focus Group. And so those are student leaders within CCF, Campus Christian Fellowship, who work with the international students. And it's like our job to just like be friends with international students everywhere on campus. And we invite people, and they come and just hang out. And the iHouse is always open throughout the week whenever for like, oh, you want to cook? Okay, we have the kitchen. Let's like make food together. So it's just very much like each student being made aware of the international students that they interact with. And just, like, building relationships with them and encouraging them, like, then to do that more one-on-one, like, okay, you have these questions, like, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's learn about your country. Let's show you, like, what my life is and how I love Jesus and what that means to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very much show.
Wonderful. It's just being there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of being there, isn't it?
Can I chime in on what you were...
Yeah, please, Derek.
So, like, with Ball State, we have about 600 international students. Some of that varies. There's not like a lot of universities. They might have, like, a lot more. Maybe some have less. I'm not sure of the statistics on that. But most, like, with our students, the international, like, engaging with them, I think God is really doing so much with them. When we helped with international check-in last year, Michaela and I were getting ready to go to Norway as missionaries, and there was a Norwegian international student, first time at Ball State. First time Ball State had an Origin International student in 17 years, and God's just like, here you go. So it's really great. But helping them out,
like literally just being their friend. We had an international student. We had a whole bunch of Daniels. They like to give themselves the Chinese students give themselves American names, and so we had like a Daniel 1, a Daniel 2, a Daniel 3, and he like texts a Facebook message, calls me, then he like messages me like tears like and everything, and he's like, I'm stuck at Walmart, like the last like MITS bus like what we have in Muncie is like left, and I'm here with my friend, and I have all these pans, I can't get back to campus. He's just freaking out. I'm like, it's okay, I'm coming to get you. And he's like, really? And like after that, just like totally like, he was just like, how are you doing? Like he was only at Ball State for like a semester, but then he went to California to transfer there. And he's just like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, I'm like his bestest friend. And I only had like a few interactions with him where I went and played basketball with him like once or twice. And he's like really good at it. I'm just over here doing granny shots and whatnot. But just helping them out, like being there, like, hey, this is where your science classes are. Like, here, let me just walk you to where this is at. I'll show you the class in person. Really? You'll do that for me?
Isn't that amazing how they feel that way? Derek, I have to tell you that one Colombian student was studying English. She was not, you know, she wasn't real proficient in English, and she called me. Some international students are real high maintenance.
Yeah.
And she just called me, and she says, can you take me to the Army? And I said, I don't know where the Army is. She says, I want to sit at a table. And I thought, did she sign up for the ROTC program? You know, where they have ROTC. And she says, please, you take me to the Army. And I have a truck. So when you have a truck, you're in the top 1% of people who love you.
Yes.
Because they, can you take me to the Army? And I said, where can I meet you? Francie, she's from Columbia. And she says, I am at ELI building. So I went over there and I said, Francie, I do not know where the Army is. I show you. So we drove around. She says, turn izquierda, which is left, I think, because that's the way I turned. And anyway, we pull up to the Salvation Army. And she says, here, the table. So we went in. I put the table in my truck. I took it to her apartment. And she held the door and everything. I carried this table in, and it is the one piece of furniture in the entire house. She said, next week I get a chair. So that's what we were kind of up against. Now, I'd like to hear from some other folks. So Don, you said you meet with so many. How do you meet students? Because you're obviously not in chemistry class, are you? You're not a student there at MU. How do you meet students? Because your story might connect with the rest of us.
Referrals. Students that I have bring their classmates or bring their roommates.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ways that I have.
Right.
But we focus on scripture study.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not so interested in the social work outside of it. It's an interest in patience.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the scriptures are magnetic.
They are.
And we can focus on that, and they enjoy it. And they
That is, and so tell us what your time, let's say one of our students signed up to spend an hour with you. Do they spend a half an hour or an hour? And tell me what that hour looks like.
Well, we use a program called Friends Speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through the life of Christ. It takes two semesters.
Mm-hmm.
And then into the book of Acts, some of the epistles of Paul. And then finally, by the third year, we'll be in the Genesis. And I have students that have been with me almost 4 years. We've had 20 baptisms in the last 3 years. And
he needs to be teaching this, not me.
So how do you get them to like sign up and want to meet with you and go over scripture?
He's 80 years old.
You know, they're told before they ever get here by their parents or by their mentors and advisors in their home country to improve their American, learn American culture, improve your English, and so those are carrots that we can use. Mm-hmm. But in my case, it's totally Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a furniture ministry, a bicycle ministry. We have an international center where we can have coffee and so forth. But I'm interested only in presenting the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they stick with me.
That is wonderful. God bless you, Don. Really.
University of Missouri in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a long-term, full-time staff there with International Student Ministry. I remember when Roy told me it all got started, and it was just a work of God. Let me tell you something about the people in this room you're sitting with. I'm just humbled to be in the same room with these folks because my friend Roy Weiss, who died a few years ago, it worked at the campus where Don is, and he was speaking at a church in Alaska years ago, he told me, and said, if we only had money to bring an international student minister on. And the church in Alaska said, hire him. We'll pay for the entire salary. One church. And at Truman, where this house was kind of next to their campus house, and they were kind of, tell me if I get this story right, people, and finally these people just said, you guys are doing this for international students? We're just going to give you the house. We're giving it to you. Now, let me tell you how impressive that is, because property that's adjacent to a university, they don't sell by the foot. They sell it by the teaspoon. You know, that's how expensive it is. But once you engage with the work of God, and we already see that He is bringing the nations to our light, look out. All we have to do is get out of the way, because He just starts making things happen. Now, another idea, we'll just kind of scatter through some ideas here, and then we'll have more question and answer time in a little bit. But let me tell you what they're doing at Western Illinois University in Macomb. They said, these kids don't have ways to get around town. I mean, there's not a real good public transportation, and we certainly don't want them driving cars. They just, you know, I helped a Colombian guy get a driver's license, and I said, Rafael, you need to stop at these signs, you know, because I've been in Bogota and it is a free-for-all. And I said, so do you have any questions, Rafael, about getting a license? He says, how in America you make everyone stay in the lines? And I said, it's the law. Well, yeah, in Colombia too, but they don't stay in the lines. And I said, you have to stay in the lines. Oh, okay. He didn't stay in the lines. Three times to get a driver's license. So we're trying to help him do that, but there's no public transportation. And the RISE project, we started just last year at the ICOM, and we have tens of thousands of dollars. Somebody, I still do not know who that person is, gave us $130,000. I know it. And they said, give it away. We want you to give this away to International Student Works. So Avery says, they need bikes if there's no taxi, you know, when they need bikes. And he said, can we get $2,000 to buy bicycles and repair them? And the grant, I'm an advisor on that committee. I don't approve grants. I'm just an advisor. They couldn't write the check fast enough. They said, this is exactly what we want to do. And actually, at a workshop at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Avery's going to tell the story. The RISE grant recipients will say, here's how we spent this money, and here's what we did, and here's what God's doing with this place. And so Avery will come and talk about the bike loan program. And, of course, they have a little waiver just in case somebody gets in an accident. They don't want them to, you know, do something bad. And but there are all different kinds. And at in Michigan, we're really hoping, Emily wanted to do kind of a Goodwill store where there's free things for international students, and they provided money for that. One of the largest international student populations is Pennsylvania. We have zero campus ministers for internationals in Pennsylvania. So the RISE Project wrote almost $12,000 to get somebody on the field in Pennsylvania. So hopefully we can talk about that a little bit more. Now, I want to shift gears just for a minute. We're talking about college students who are saying, I just go meet them on campus. Well, what if we're in a church and we don't just hang out on campus? You know, if we are engaged at a church, or we're going to go do something in Athens, or we're going to start something in Virginia, and it's not like we just hang out on campus and meet people in the union, right? How do we meet people then? How can we meet people? Well, in the book of Psalms, the Bible says God sets the lonely in families. And there are friendship family programs at many universities. They have this at MU, a friendship family, where a family signs up, Don, at Truman. Now, and they have it at Muncie. They have it in Nebraska. Probably at Western, I'm not sure. But they have these family programs. And if we had time and the internet was working better here, We pull up a website, and I'll just show you. It says, sign up here, be a friendship family. So what that means is the university wants their students to stay. They don't want them to be homesick and lonely and after the first year say, I go home. They want them in families. And this is something that you campus ministries really, I hope you can get your minds around, that you offer a tremendous thing to the students. You offer this friendship, and that is unique and wonderful. The only way you can offer a family is by inviting them to be a part of yours. So families will adopt an international student, and you don't have to spend all day with them, or you don't have to, you know, maybe once a month. Birthdays, we'll have students come to our house for Thanksgiving this next week, just because they want to be a part of our family. So God sets the lonely in families. This is where the church has a unique opportunity. College kids have the unique opportunity of friendship. Man, we're going to a movie, or we're all going to go out and have hamburgers tonight at Applebee's. Come with us. And international students will, in many cases, jump on that. But they can't have a family. So I talked to some international students this last week. What are you going to do for Christmas or for Thanksgiving? What are your plans? One says, I go to Las Vegas. I said, have a good time. Show me some pictures when you get back and don't get into trouble because I'm not coming there to get you. But other one said, you know, Jim, he'd take me with his family. So when they say the word family, it is just this endearing, I have a family here. Churches have a unique opportunity. And now let me tell you about this. There are families in your church that will probably not lead a Bible study. They're too nervous about that. And they're not going to be singing on the praise team. They might not ever be an elder or a deacon. And Sunday school, but to say, would you have a kid be part of your family for the next year? Yeah, absolutely. We love to do that. Well, here's the name. Here's the address. This student likes music and shopping. Well, we're going to a Christmas concert next week. Let's take Ju Young to the Christmas concert. Oh, and Ju Young will probably say, can I bring two friends? They love music too. All of a sudden, now your family is growing exponentially. So anyway, we're gonna take a breather here and say, what questions does this bring to your mind about international student ministry? What kind of things just kind of come to the surface? Anything at all? Good question. How do you find out? See, where's this information available to us? Anybody got any? Does anybody know or have any ideas?
I'd call Greg Swinney.
Yeah, I'd go to the website. Greg Swinney would love to help you. And in fact, I will. I certainly will. But often the university, I go to a university website. Like even when I got here, the first thing I did was I typed in Bloomington because Bloomington's only 45 minutes away, and that is Illinois State. I typed in University of Illinois, Champaign Banana, and I typed in, it says search, and it says, I just searched international, boom. And all of it says, it brings up this website, and then it says international student programs. And then I go down and it says host families, which is not a live-in, but it's a host family, and here's an application. Click, click, click. I'd like to be. Now, the university cannot ask you, are you a Christian or are you? Because some universities, they're nervous about just anybody. I mean, what happens? You think about our world. What happens if somebody adopts somebody and something goes terribly wrong? So the university will ask you questions like, what community groups are you in? Well, I'm in the Rotary Club, or I attend First Christian Church, you know. And they look at those things, and they'll probably look at your Facebook page. They want to know because they don't want to be liable for something that's going to happen at your house. So you try to be honest with all that and where you're involved and all those things, and it'll help you make sense of it. So go to the university website. If you're not really computer savvy, what I do is I pick up the phone and I look, what is the university number? Truman State. Here's a switchboard. Can I have the international student office? The international student office calls up and I say, hey, we, you know, our kids aren't home for Thanksgiving, and we wanted to just make our table. You know, I've traveled to South Korea. I've traveled to a few other countries, and people were so welcoming to me. I just want to welcome them. Do you have any students? And they said, oh, we got five students that are just going to sit in a dorm room. And can we put you in touch with them? I said, we'd love. And I said, I'll have to come pick them up. And they say, yeah, we have some other things, too. There's some flying into the airport in January. Would you go to the airport and pick them up? I say, heck yeah. So the airport's, you know, 2 hours from me. So I have 2 hours of windshield time. It's wonderful. And then I never take them straight to the campus. I say, here's where I live. Boy, I hope you come over and have supper sometime. And down the road. And here's the church. I go here every Sunday. And there are wonderful families. They invite people home for lunch after church. How I get invitation. So somebody even asked me last week, my friend wants to come to church. How can they do that? And I said, it's open. Anyone can come. No. Do they have to have a ticket? You know, this is what they're used to. You have to have a ticket. Do you have to have a membership? You can't get into the Y without a membership. I said, no, it's open for everyone. You give ride? Oh yeah, I give ride. So I drive by. I drive by the university every Sunday morning about a quarter after 10, and anybody who's standing on the sidewalk, I just say, you want to come to church? And they pile in. And then we take them home for lunch. They play with our dog. And they say, can we come back? I said, next week's potluck dinner at church. Oh, we bring friends. We bring friends. But this is part of what it is. So when you do think about it, you will have strange questions. You know, Jackie Chan kind of says, what? How do I do this? Their impressions of Christians may not be optimistic. They may have bad impressions of Christians because on television and on the news, we are bigots and we are haters. And assumptions, we all have guns. You know, one of the Colombians said, you show me your gun. I said, why do you ask this? I see Clint Eastwood. All Americans have guns. And I said, I'll show you that later. But the culture shock. And I mean, how do you understand what they're going through? All of these things. So, let me tell you just a few of these. I'm going to just give you a shotgun of ideas, okay? And you guys chime in on this too. Something that worked that anybody in this room could go home and just duplicate. Real easy. Don's Bible Studies and Friends Speak. There is a group right here at the ICOM, and I don't know what Leslie's booth number is. You can find it in the exhibitor index. Friends Speak is here, and they will say, here's the material. Here's how you do it. You just read through the Bible with them, and there's good questions, and stop by their booth. And tell Leslie that Greg sent you, and she will say, hey, here's some other ideas because I know you're connected with campuses. So Friends Speak is one idea. Lots of them want driver's licenses. Have any of you helped them get driver's licenses? Kyuhun failed 3 times, and this is Kyuhun Cho. He is a civil engineer. He's going through engineering classes, and he can't get a driver's license. So I said, get a learner's permit. I want you to drive me to churches. I preach on Sunday at several churches. I want you to drive me to churches. We leave at 6. Okay, I go. So I'm thinking this is wonderful because I'm going to be able to, you know, sit back. I'm going to be able to go over my sermon, and while he's driving, you know, I'll preach at a town about an hour away, and I'll go over my sermon. And I'm looking up saying, on the right side of the yellow line. Move to the right side of the yellow line. So now there's permanent fingernail marks in the dash of my car. Kyuhun, slow down. The speed limit, that's the top. You don't have to go that fast. You can go slower than 65. Okay. Anyway, he now works for Hyundai Corporation in Busan. But anyway, he still rides us. So help them drive. I have an old clunker car. I just toss them the keys and say, take me somewhere. Picnics, welcome picnics. You guys do this at Truman. How does that go over? Big.
First week of school with the welcome, we have like a big kind of eye house, and that's kind of the initial contact. We're like, come back, do that thing after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Food is always great.
Here's another idea on food. Lori and I did a cooking class.
Yeah.
We just had some free time. I said, Lori, how about the next three Friday afternoons? The next three Friday afternoons from about 3 to 5, we do a cooking class. We had to limit it to 12. They said, can I bring friends? I said, next time. We do next time. So we did this cooking class, and we had 12 kids. Four made a main dish, four made a vegetable, four made dessert. And then the next week, they'd all trade. It was all about developing relationships. And we had kids from six countries, all cooking mashed potatoes and gravy. And the girl from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, said, I make my father mashed potatoes. My father come in 6 months. I make him mashed potatoes and gravy. So I bumped into them at the union, and here was her father who was sitting there. And he, you know, she translated. He said, thank you for making my daughter feel so welcome in your country. Because everything he'd heard about Americans was, we hate Arabs. We hate Arabs. 9/11. And he looked at me and said, thank you for welcoming our daughter. I said, it's an honor for us. I said, would you like to come over for a meal? I leave today. He says, oh, I wish I would have known. So the cooking, and then we made certificates. We made certificates that said, I can cook American food. And Ellie, she goes by an American name, Ellie, we got the Watch Out McDonald's apron on. And she says, can I have a picture with your dog? I want the picture of your dog. So our dog Ripley is a global dog on Facebook pages from all over the world. Intramural programs. Some play intramurals. So I always find an intramural partner from another country, and so we play racquetball. And actually, we won, but the university just says, they just put it in the newsletter or something. So I go to Hobby Lobby, and I buy gold medals for 59 cents. And I say, let's have a celebration. So these Koreans, this guy and this girl, they won the gold medal. So they came over to the house, and we had like a milk crate. We had them stand up, and we played the Korean national anthem while we put the gold medal on. Oh, it was hilarious. And then I won the silver medal with a girl from Japan. And we played our national anthem, and we stood for that. Thank you very much. And all of a sudden, they go home. They tell all their friends, you got to meet these crazy people. We're standing on milk crates in their kitchen. So intramurals are a great program. Visiting scholars. I call the international office, and they say, hey, we got all these Chinese teachers coming. They're going to be here for 2 weeks. Can they come over? Will you fix them? Mashed potatoes and gravy. So we have all these Chinese professors coming. Their English is fair, but he still writes me. And we started spiritual. He had just seen some movie about somebody who died and came back to life. And the resurrection is not a real common story in China. And he said, you think this is real? And I said, I know the Bible says it's real. I said, what do you think? I said, what happens after you die? And he said, I don't know. Nothing? Something? I don't know. You think this is real? So just from a movie conversation, we started talking about the resurrection. So though you look for those little windows to say, what do you think about this? How does this all work? We had some students that were graduating from ELI. This is one of the Colombian, actually he's a Colombian policeman. And I asked Felipe, I said, what's your job? He says, I'm a policeman. I said, so do you write parking tickets? No, hire. I said, okay. So anyway, they had to fly home before graduation. So I said, you guys need... So there were about a dozen of them graduating, and I said, you need to come over. So we got out my son's graduation, high school graduation gown and hat, and we had a graduation service for all these Colombians, and we made a little certificate for them. And actually, it was an ELI program, so it said his certificate that we made says, I can speak English good, which is poor English to start out with. And he's holding his upside down. He's really a character. Philippi is this really a character. Remember the summit of the Americas when it was held in Cartagena a few years ago? And our President Obama went down and our Secret Servicemen got in trouble. Do you remember that story from a few years ago? This is the delegation that welcomed President Obama. And the person who was in charge of all the Secret Service for Obama's visit, guess who? This guy right here, who is the guy holding his English certificate upside down. He was a little higher than a policeman. He's in charge of security for visiting delegates. Yeah. He met at my table eating spaghetti. This is how we can shape the world, you guys. And the Lord is bringing the nations to... The Lord is bringing the nations to our kitchen tables. I mean, from all over... this is Japchae night for South Koreans. You have to think about their life. Some of you have traveled. When they get here, they eat cafeteria food, don't they? Only cafeteria food. And they go from a dormitory to a cafeteria to maybe a library to study to a classroom. And that's their life. So about 2 weeks into school, My wife Lori makes japchae, which is a wonderful Korean noodle, and we go to the Oriental Market. We buy the real stuff that we can't read the labels on. And Lori looks on the internet and says, it says so many liters of this. And I said, well, that means something else. I don't know how many teaspoons that is. But anyway, she figures it all out. And so about 2 weeks into school, I just put a little poster on a table at the student union and said, japchae at Greg and Lori's. This isn't rocket science. Come over and have japchae. And Lori says, how many do I fix for? Well, there's 70 new ones. There's 70 new ones. And this is last year, so we just had about 20-some show up. This year we had 45 show up. And I said, welcome to our home. This is Seoul Central. And a lot of them are from Seoul, South Korea. I said, how many of you, this is the first time in an American home? Over half raised their hand. Mm-hmm. I said, you can take pictures. This home is yours. You can take pictures. And so I shuttle them into our family room where there's pictures of Noah's Ark all around, and they can relate to that story. And I said, yeah, this is when God made the rainbows. And all of a sudden they start seeing, we have little things around our house that tell Bible stories. And so when they get there, they say, tell me, what this? And then I scout out who are the most athletic, and I pick them for my intramural team so I can maybe win. So anyway, here is just a thumbnail sketch, and we need to have a few questions. We're going to give a few things away. Pray. You assemble a prayer team. So if you're going to do this, and Don, chime in on this, or you guys chime in on this if you would. Maybe this is something you've done at Western Illinois to put a prayer team together. That is the only place to start. It is the best place and the only place. Then learn. Research the campus. How many students from China? Is there a big group from Nepal? What about Saudi students? Can we reach out to them? Is that going to work? Let's say you're at Virginia Tech. How's that going to look? Are we going to try and reach out to Brazilian students? Are there more from South America? Ask a lot of questions. What programs are going on? Are there friendship programs? Are there different kinds of things that we can already just partner with? We don't have to invent something new. We can just go right in. Recruit or enlist volunteers. And actually, we have videos upon videos to recruit friendship families or student partners. FriendSpeak has great videos to recruit people to the FriendSpeak program. Have a training meeting. Here's how this goes. You can kiss a Colombian on the cheek because that's how they greet each other. But don't kiss a Chinese girl on the cheek because you'll go to jail. So have a training meeting. Have a training meeting so that you know how that works. And then go. You just start. That's how you do. We turn our house into, it's Seoul Central. It is Bogota Central. It is Tokyo Central. Anybody is welcome in our house. And the key is under the mat. One night, Lori and I came home, and these people were all at our house. They took me serious. All these South Koreans showed up. This guy's from Indonesia. All of them showed up, and they were eating in the kitchen. And I said, what is going on with you guys? And they said, you said the keys under the mat. So when we got home, everything was a mess. And they said, we want to make you some food now. And these kids still write me. They call me their American dad. It's just so amazing how this all works. Now we have a couple minutes for questions, and we're going to give away a couple things, and you're going to be dismissed. But do you have any questions for students or anybody? Yeah.
I guess this goes to everybody, but coming over for education is a little bit different for refugees.
Yes.
So I work with refugees, but it's more off campus. So I wondered if anyone works with refugees actually on campus and how it
can be so. I'll go ahead and answer that. There is a refugee track within the RISE track, and a lady named Tracy Harrod is a real expert in that. And she knows that when refugees come, it's not like an international student wanting to travel to Las Vegas. They're broken and they're hurting, and they need some kind of healing to go on. And she does that so well. And if you want to find Tracy Harrod, when you're looking through the workshop track, look under RISE Project led by Tracy Harrod, H-A-R-R-O-D. She will give you some great, great answers. So we can talk more. There's lots of materials on the back table you're welcome to take. And we'd love to. There's one there that says your church can reach internationals. It's just kind of an overview. There's one called No Passport Required. You're welcome to take that. Any of these things. I have a booth. It's number 1322. I also have $60,000 to give away. And the answer is yes. If you want to do something with internationals, the answer is yes. Who do we make the check to? So, if you want to do an international student retreat, I can recommend to the committee, you've got to do this at Truman. Just let me know. But we want to give this away to launch a movement. A couple years ago, there are 17 Nepali students on our campus, 17. And Ramesh was their leader. And I said to Ramesh, you guys, do you even know who's here? And he says, I know there's some here from Kathmandu, but they're not in the same city or area as me, and I don't know. And so they didn't even know each other. And I said, well, if you want to invite some over, just have them come over, and we'll make some rice and chicken, because they're all Hindus. We'll make rice and chicken. And you guys can meet each other and meet us, and we'll just, how we can help you. Of the 17 Nepali, 16 showed up that night. So I looked in the kitchen. Lori's making the rice, and she said, stall. I have to make another pot of rice, and I'm putting some more chicken in the oven. So we had, but to stall for them another hour, hour and a half, they sit and talk. So let me know if there's some way we can help you with the RISE project, if there's some way we can help you with international students. We're going to give away two things. Cindy, is there another cookbook back there, or are they all gone? I think there's one right back behind. This is the limited edition Crossroads International Student Coffee Cup. If you knew our budget, you would know how limited these are. Anyway, this is November 18th. Whose birthday is closest to November 18th?
Mine's Monday.
Coming up?
Yes, it's Monday.
Oh, my gosh. Can anybody beat Monday? Is it today? You win. And this is really cool because it has this little scurry thing.
Wow.
Believe it. Now, one more.
I know. I'm excited.
Happy birthday. We asked a bunch of these kids, what food do you miss the most from home? And we said, wouldn't it be fun if we put a cookbook together? So, he of China said fried sesame rice. And from Great Britain, they wanted garlic dough balls. From Japan, Kenzahiro said hikakado. This is how you make it. Honey sauce chicken from Japan. Here's South Korea. Here is Colombia, Brazil. All these, and we put a cookbook together of their favorite recipes. Isn't that a cool idea?
Yeah.
Well, these are, and the kids who put it together, let's see if I can find some of them. The kids who put it together are just delightful. We put their picture in here, and all these kids have been over at my house. I just said, why don't you come over? And so all these kids have been at my house, and we put this together. So it's all these different recipes. And I wish I had enough to give everybody, but actually this, I think, might be our last one. Whose birthday is closest to my birthday? April 2nd. April 2nd. Huh?
April 29th.
April 29th. Anybody in March? Don, when's yours? Huh? March 17th. That's 2 weeks. Don might be ahead of you. April what? 20th? 28th? You're close to?
June 21st.
Oh, you're. Yeah? March 18th? How do we do the math? Whose is the closest? Well, should we give it to Don as a thank you for meeting 16? Now, yes, thank you, Don, for doing your work. Tell us where you are from. Where are you from?
From Nigeria.
You're from Nigeria? It's cold in the U.S., isn't it? Oh, I wish we could have had you tell your story. How long have you been in the U.S.?
Came in January.
You came in January, when it was very cold.
Yes.
What is the temperature today in your home city in Nigeria? Maybe the temperature, about?
Well, I'm in centigrade, about
40. 40 centigrade, or Celsius?
35, yeah.
35 or 40 Celsius, so that's hot. Oh, I wish we could have heard your stories. If you want to come at 4 o'clock in this room, you can tell some of your story. So thank you for being a part of this workshop. The main session starts in about 30 minutes if you're going to that. The exhibit halls are open. And thanks for joining us in this workshop very much.
There it is.
money they can make.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious.
I was either a